This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Alan Ellis here with E.W. Grimes, president of the Maryland Chapter of Quality Deer Management Association. How long have you been there now?
We're going 9 years we've had it in Maryland now.
Yep. 9 years? Yep. Yeah, I remember when you started.
Yep.
Cool. Very cool. So how many members all together in Maryland is this QDMA?
Right now, the last numbers I got, which was about a year ago, I think we're right there a little bit above 2,600 members in Maryland.
Oh, that's across the state.
Across the state, yes.
Now
state
these
members.
Are these are people that don't necessarily belong to a chapter, but they've sent in
once their dues. QDMA is a big family. You know, once you're in, you're in. You become a member, you get the magazine and all that. And but we hope you would come out and participate with the local branches, and which we have one in Garrett County now, one in Montgomery County, Queen Anne's County has one. Or I talked to a guy just the other day. Probably Southern Maryland's going to get one kicking going here, hopefully at the expo in the next.
Good.
We can get one going down there. And of course, we have the original one, which is in Bottman Valley Branch, which is the branch we started out in Carroll County.
Right.
So, the more branches we have around, the more guys participate, the more local entities kind of get involved.
Sure.
So that's our goal, to have, five or six stretched out across the state or more.
What's your support from the we talked about one, but what's your primary support from the local folks? I mean, as far as the local sporting goods stores and things like that, I mean, do they see value in having a deer organization in the region?
They do, actually, but you got to kind of get in and walk in the door and get to talking to them. You got to open up that door of communication, and yes, they do. And I get a phone call, especially this time of year, from now to hunting season. We're booked solid this week. This month and every weekend we're doing something going on, and from now till November, we'll have something going on somewhere,
right?
And all that. So
yeah. Good. Let's see what Claude has to say here in West Baltimore. Good morning, Claude. How you doing? Hello. Turn your radio down, Claude. You're on the air now.
Okay. Hey, Alan.
Yeah.
Let me turn my police radio on. The special session, did they bring up anything about that Handgun Act?
No, but the special session may do something on Second Amendment, but the Woolard case has been appealed, and that was the one that that we won. The Woolard case started all this about the permit, the carry permit. That's what you're talking about. Yeah, the Woolard case has been appealed. It won't be heard until October. There probably won't be a ruling until early next year, 2013. So all the handgun permits are still on hold, unless you can provide a good and reasonable reason why you should have a handgun permit. You're not going to get one right now. All those that have been filed, if you push it and say, you're going to be denied. And so that they were supposed to find out what was going on the 7th. I told you I'd talk about it. I'm glad you called. But the dealers have basically said everything is still on hold pending the outcome of the appeal.
I spoke to the state police, and they told me, let's see, we did win the appeal again, that their appeal was denied, that they would have so many handgun applications, they wouldn't have enough people to do them.
Well, that's probably true. That's probably very true. They'd be overwhelmed, I have no doubt.
Because right now, as security guards or special police or whatever, to get your permit,
yeah,
you put in 90 days before it expires and hope it gets done within that 90 days.
Well, I understand that. You understand it. Well, they're definitely going to be overwhelmed. Definitely. I was in a gun shop the other day, and a law enforcement officer came in. The guy was in the Secret Service for 20-some years, and he wanted to buy a handgun. And there are gun shops who only sell to law enforcement, and they have special provisions for law enforcement officers to sell them handguns. And this guy wanted to buy a handgun from Pennsylvania and have it transferred into Maryland, and the gun dealer said, no way. There's a place here in Maryland that you can go, and it, you know, it would probably be much to your advantage to do that rather than have a gun shipped. And it was a standard gun. It was a SIG, some kind of SIG. I don't remember what it was. The guy wanted to buy, and he thought he could get a special price, which he could. The dealer said, you're buying it for less than we pay for it, because the exemption for law enforcement is no federal excise tax, which adds about 11% to the cost of the gun. Why don't you go to this shop? I think it's Prince George's County or somewhere, Ren, deal with them here in Maryland rather than try and have it brought in through a dealer in Pennsylvania. The dealer in Pennsylvania doesn't understand that someone with an FFL in Maryland can't transfer that gun in and do it justice from out of state, not a handgun, because of our special rules here. That handgun may not have been fired and have the shell casing collected, you know, from the manufacturer if it was shipped to Pennsylvania. So, you know, there's all kinds of screwed up handgun laws here in Maryland that are totally unnecessary. And you know, that handgun board and the handgun requirements that we have here in Maryland. Anybody have any idea how many crimes have actually been solved with shell casing evidence?
None.
What?
None.
One?
None.
None. Are you sure?
Pretty certain on it.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I mean, I know it's very low of all the thousands of shell casings that have been collected. But, you know. Anyway, that's the latest on Woolard. It's still on appeal. It won't be heard till I think, the 23rd, 24th, 25th of October by the court. The ruling won't come down to the 1st of next year, and all the handgun permits that have been applied for when the Woolard case was ruled on are still put on hold.
So don't even apply, people.
What's that?
So don't even apply right now because you're wasting your money.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but I mean, you know, that it's going to be a wait. There's no question about it. So,
right.
All right, Claude, appreciate the call.
Okay, and have a good weekend, buddy.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye. Excuse me. I'm wheezing. Wheezy. So, anyway. What else interested you in the Maryland annual deer report?
Well, it's always I like to keep an eye on the button buck harvest, but it's pretty flat line. It usually runs around 10,000 deer button bucks are killed each year.
Yeah,
and that's the ones that are checked in there again. I think there's probably some confusion with the button buck and an antlerless deer, and I think some of them's probably it's a little higher than what it looks like. But use it as a minimum.
Explain that.
Well, the reason I bring up about the button buck thing is because when we look at the management goals and the 10-year deer plan and all that, you know, you want to reduce the deer herd, still keep enough animals there for the hunters to be happy and try to make everybody happy. And hats off to them guys who, you know, they're doing that. But right now, and it's almost like a flat line, even though, you know, we're erring across that right under 100,000 deer, our total harvest.
Yeah.
To control population growth, you need to have like 30% of antlered harvest versus 60 to 70% of female harvest. And when I say female, and then when you add the button bucks into the female, or take it out of the female and add it to the buck, then you have a male-to-female ratio, and that really gives you an idea of how your management is going. In Maryland, we're flatlining. I mean, we have for the last, that's why we harvest as many deer as what we do, is because we really haven't put a real curve into the growth unless you're on QDM property. And then, you know, you do
that.
Yeah,
but, I mean, explain that. You brought a lot of stuff up there, but boil it down. You said about button bucks and all this stuff.
Okay.
What does that mean? You say about the button buck harvest. Why does that concern you?
Well,
those are future antlered deer.
They're future antlered deer.
And they're part of the antlerless harvest.
And they're part of the antlerless harvest, but they are truly a male deer.
And you're saying 10% of the antlerless harvest is button buck, our male deer.
Right around 10,000
deer. So what you're saying is if you add that button buck harvest to your sex ratio, buck doe rate, what are we looking at?
You're looking at 54% female.
Yeah.
Harvest when we should literally be around 60% or better.
That's because people don't look at the. I mean,
well,
they, you
the,
know,
thing, the other thing
they
about
see
button
a deer
buck,
and they shoot it. They
well, the thing about a button buck is that is our future bucks, and they add to it. But with our fetus study, you know, we have proven it's a 50-50 split in your fawning.
Yeah,
you know, so you know, that's something worth looking at. I mean, it's something that most people don't look at.
How do you do it?
I mean, just don't shoot a small deer.
Well,
first off,
yeah, I understand that, but I mean, you're talking if a kid shoots a deer.
That's fine. Kids exempt for all.
Exempt for
everything.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, I'm going to say a fair percentage of those button bucks are shot because people don't know how to tell the difference in the size of a deer. They see a deer and they shoot it, especially in the early muzzleloader season. A deer walks up. It's a single deer. It's a little buck that's just been kicked out because mom's getting ready to breed. Hey, it's a deer. Let's get it. It's an antlerless deer. You know, we need two to kill a bonus buck, so there's one of them.
Well.
And that's it. But on the other hand, in the last couple of years, we've really been pushing this doe harvest challenge with the Farm Bureau and the Grain Producers Board and the Soybean Board and FHFH. You know, they publicized this doe harvest challenge, and it's got to be a doe to qualify for their
absolutely, their
prize package, whatever that is. And we'll be talking about that from probably 1st of September on, I mean, and that type of thing, and telling people about the Doe Harvest Challenge. But it's only in 13 counties. They got 10 more counties to go. They've added Carroll this year, where you live. They've added Frederick, and they added Wicomico County to the Doe Harvest Challenge. And so that's to try and implement that.
Yeah, let's
you know, the people recognize, I mean, the Farm Bureau, or the Soybean Board, the Grain Producers, the FHFH, they all recognize that those brood does are the problem.
Absolutely. They're the ones that have majority of the time will have twins.
That's why we have 10 antlerless deer.
Now, if you think about
unlimited antlerless deer now statewide for archery.
Well, true, except for in Region A.
Yeah, except for region A.
And there's a reason for that. However, they should maybe should take it a step farther and say nanny does. You know, because
how
I know it's how.
How?
Educational source.
If you educate people, it will fall into place without regulation.
Absolutely,
it will fall into place without regulation. If you educate somebody about what they're looking at, that's a mature doe. That's how you tell the difference between a button buck and an immature doe. Right there. Button buck, real simple. Flat head.
Yeah, flat head, square head.
Square head.
Square
block head.
Yep.
Button buck.
Don't shoot it. And a doe fawn is rounded.
Round head.
It's very rounded. And you can look at other characteristics. Blocky face.
Right.
The real blocky face is a good indicator, too.
Yeah.
And the thing
and
about
if you're
it
not
is,
sure, don't shoot
when
it.
When in doubt, don't shoot.
Don't shoot.
Don't shoot. Right. I mean, I shot a
button buck a couple years ago. It was in the snow. And I was shooting one for the farm, and I thought, whatever comes by, I'm going to kill it if it's not a button buck. Mm-hmm. I looked that deer over high and low.
Was it by itself?
By itself.
I broke my own rule.
I killed that deer. Got up to it. No visible buttons.
It happens.
But it was there. You can't tell. You just can't.
Well, it happens. And it happens more often late season than it does early season.
This was in the snow. This is late firearm season. Yeah. This is a January season. Yeah, and, you know,
that's when it's – but the rule of thumb, if it's by itself, it most likely could be or more likely would be a button buck if it's by itself. Does tend to hang out in the groups and they're not by themselves.
And on a managed hunt, when the goal is to kill antlerless deer, button bucks are going to
get hammered.
They're going to go down. No question.
I mean, they're dumb. I'm sorry, but they're young and they're dumb. You're young and dumb. And the same way with yearling bucks, the same way. That's why there's a lot of, they're easier to kill because they're dumb.
Right.
They're not as smart.
Right.
There again, the older does are a little harder. If you want to be a little savvy, more savvy of a hunter, you got to target. If you target older does, you're going to have more of a challenge to get that doe.
It's going to be a big challenge.
Sometimes huge challenge.
We had on one farm, we had a big mature monarch doe, like you said, always carried at least two fawns with her throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes four.
Mm-hmm.
So there'd be, you'd see a group of five deer coming. They weren't walking through the woods. They knew it was hunt season. They knew there were other people in the woods. Those deer were constantly on the move, running, trotting, walking. There wasn't a you were not going to get a standing shot at that big doe. Just wasn't going to do it. We had 50 deer in the field one night. 50. Mostly antlerless deer, shotgun county. This is Baltimore County. Not anything close enough to shoot. Transport plane went over. One of those big C-130s, mm-hmm. whatever, from White Mar, or from over in Middle River. They're all deer, all feeding. Plane goes over pretty low. Guess who looked up?
Oh, yeah.
That one doe.
That one doe.
She looked up at that plane, just watched it go by, and I thought, man.
No.
That's the doe we need to get out of this herd because she's running the whole place here.
Yeah.
And we never did get her. So, anyway, but yeah, they're smart. They're much more of a challenge than some of the younger, dumber bucks.
And even the older does eat better than the bucks. You hear that? Well, I'm just killing one for the meat locker, or I'm just killing one to put in the freezer. Target that doe because they have fat content.
What's the oldest deer you ever killed?
The oldest deer I ever killed was a 7.5-year-old.
Me too.
Now,
managed hunt in Howard County, 7.5-year-old doe.
That's a buck. Was the oldest. The oldest doe I killed was 12 years old.
Oh my!
And literally had no teeth hardly at all.
Yeah.
How she was ever eating, I have no idea. But on the other side, and that was one of the monarch does you was just talking about. And I got some. I could go on for a half an hour talk about her because she really put the screws on me in my hunting area for a long time. And but the thing about it is you know people ask how long will deer live? They'll look to their shot. Most of the time with bucks, that's why bucks don't live longer. It's because there's so many of them shot. But we've actually on the feeder study and managed hunts, we pulled some that literally I don't know how that deer was ever surviving, didn't have any teeth in its mouth at all, and yet she would be perfectly healthy. And we have enough soft mass and soft browse around, to stabilize and eat. And it's incredible. It's incredible, and you don't know that till you pull the jawbone and look at it.
That's right. You know? Amazing. Yeah. Hey, there was a striped bass caught by Mr. Robert Myers of Pasadena, Maryland on July 21st. Now, Mr. Myers was fishing aboard Captain George Fitzsimmons' charter boat, the Miss Leanna. Miss Leanna, my ex-wife's name. Out of a private dock in Deal, Maryland, this was not a paid charter trip. It was fun fishing, where the passengers split the expenses. The boat left the dock with a total of four passengers at 6:45 in the morning, proceeded to motor a short distance, caught some live spot for live lining for striped bass. They caught their spot, proceeded to Eastern Bay, near number two buoy in 30 foot of water. The sea conditions were fairly rough. They marked plenty of fish on the depth finder, but fishing was slow. They managed to catch three keeper striped bass. Mr. Myers caught a fish, noticed by Mr. Myers, bearing a 2012 Diamond Jim tag, number 05102. The party finished fishing at 3 o'clock with three keeper rockfish, and arrived back to dock at 4:15. Mr. Myers called in his fish, but had to go to Colorado on business and did not arrive back until Friday, July 27th. The tag fish was frozen with the tag in place. DNR biologists inspected the fish 4:30 on July 27th. The fish was in good health. The tag was intact. The fish measured 22.5 inches and matched the fish in the database, which was tagged and released on May 24th off Calvert Cliffs. Here it is in Eastern Bay. Mr. Myers passed polygraph. His fish will be certified as an imposter Diamond Jim worth a minimum of $500. If the real Diamond Jim is not caught, he will split the $25,000 top prize money with any other anglers who caught certified imposter Diamond Jim tagged fish. Mr. Myers' contact information is as follows, and we're not going to give that. Now, Mr. Myers and Mr. Gary Condren of Jacksonville, Florida, who we talked about last hour, the proud possessors of a Diamond Jim fish that are imposters. There was one more that was caught we mentioned last week, and I don't have that name in front of me, but that's three. There are two more.
Mm.
Two more that have been caught. Polygraphs are going to be conducted this coming week, and one of those could be the July Diamond Jim fish worth $20,000, if possible. One or the other. Now, the question remains. The mystery comes. If that is a Diamond Jim fish worth $20,000, the guy gets $20,000. Neither of these two were that I just talked about this show. If that fish that is going to be certified next week and a polygraph is passed, if that's Diamond Jim worth $20,000, we've got a very happy angler. If they are both imposters, however, then we have five guys, not at $500 a piece. no other fish are caught, they split $25,000. And you can get in on that, too. All you have to do is participate in the Maryland Fishing Challenge. Go fishing. If you catch a tagged rockfish, it could be Diamond Jim worth $25,000 if you catch between now and Labor Day. Diamond Jim's still out there swimming, as far as we know. And he could be worth $25,000. But we also want you to think about catching a cetacean-sized fish. If you do, there are 80 different categories, 60 species of fish that are available for cetaceans in Maryland. The freshwater, the tidal rivers, the Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast to qualify. All you got to do is check with your local citation center. They don't all have to be tagged. They just have to meet a minimum size. The website is www.dnr.maryland.gov. That's dnr.maryland.gov. For all the details in the 2012 Maryland Fishing Challenge, this year honors Maryland's own Lefty Cray, the legendary fly fisherman Lefty Cray, fly fisherman, author, TV star. Now, you could win if you are in the if you become a member of the Fishing Challenge by catching a cetacean fish. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, or even thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center. Maybe even a fishing vacation from the World Fishing Network. www.dnr.maryland.gov. That's how you get there. Are you feeling lucky? That's the question I need to ask. Let me tell you about Bay Linex spray-on bedliners of Glen Burnie. Linex bedliners completely seal out rust. They have a durable non-slip surface. They reduce noise and vibration. Linex bedliners resist most chemicals, fuels, and acids. They protect against impact. And they clean up like new at your local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is the only authorized Linex dealer in Glen Burnie. It's proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with the nationwide lifetime warranty. I see those Linex stickers all over the little orange oval right behind the driver's window, right on the windshield there. See them everywhere. And the reason is they're a very popular bedliner, and they are what they say they are. They do what they say they'll do. Now, the Linex protection can come to you. If you've got a tank that you're going to bury underground, you know, for oil tank or something like that, your trailers, your tanks, your equipment, forklifts, lift gates, anything that needs protection against corrosion, rust, and the weather, Linex can come to your shop, your farm, or even your home and spray your deck or whatever with that great Linex material. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, or your equipment like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner from Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Bay Linex Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Visit them online at baylinex.com. That's baylinex.com. Give Bobby Hawkins a call. He's the chief, the head guy. 410-789-0199. Write it down. 410-789-0199. Mention Ellis Outdoors, the Outdoors and Radio Show, when you purchase your bedliner, and you can receive a $30 Bass Pro Shop gift card. That's Bay Linex of Glen Burnie.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Marcy Norton. Economists and investors are wary of the so-called fiscal cliff that could cause deep damage to the economy in 2013. The cliff would be a 1-2 punch. More than $1 trillion in cuts to government spending are due to kick in starting in January, just as tax cuts enacted under President Bush are set to expire. Spending cuts and tax increases could shave some of Washington's heavy debt, but because the U.S. economy is still fragile and the global economy is even more precarious, the combination could throw the U.S. back into recession and pull down growth around the world. Bill Stone at PNC Wealth Management tells the Wall Street Journal the fiscal cliff is big, scary, and yet avoidable. Though it's doubtful a compromise will come soon, Stone says PNC's baseline view is that policymakers will come to an agreement after the November elections to prevent the economy from falling off the cliff. I'm Marcy Norton with the Wall Street Journal.
Hello, this is Bank. How can I help you?
Yeah, hi. My wife and I just had a baby, and I need to cash in my CD early.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank
Please
you.
Note, early withdrawal penalties do apply. Fees are up to but not restricted to 50% of the CD's value. All withdrawals...
We're not sure what some banks mean when they say, how can I help you? At Ally Bank, we offer a no-penalty CD that lets you withdraw all your money after the first week of funding and keep the interest earned with no penalties. That's how Ally helps. Ally Bank. No nonsense. Just people sense. Member FDIC.
Jay with SafeLight Auto Glass.
We know you depend on your vehicle. So when you have auto glass damage, you need it fixed fast. SafeLight has more glass in stock than anyone. So when you schedule a replacement with SafeLight, we'll get you back on your way faster. Plus, our work is backed by the only national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered anywhere.
Just tell your insurance company you want SafeLight or call 1-800-800-2727 or go to SafeLight.com.
SafeLight Repair, SafeLight Replace.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk radio.
'Em all, Jack. That's what we're going to say this year when we take a toll of blue bills. That's for sure. I'll tell you, last blue bill hunt I was on. Oh man, I'll tell you what we had. We took a flock of blue bills come in, and I mean they come in. They do the classic, you know, in the decoys. It's so cool watching them. And there were three of us, and we all dumped our limit right there in one toll. And
wow.
it was a lot of fun. We killed canvasbacks and bluebills and Canadas. And let's talk to Edward in Northwest Baltimore.
Hello.
How are you?
Okay, fine. I just heard you talking about somebody catching a fish when he's diamond jet fishing had to undergo a polygraph.
Always.
Why?
Because we have a commercial hook and line season, and we have a commercial netting season out there. And sometimes a commercial guy will catch one and have a family member or friend check it in as a fish that was caught on a hook and line. And the polygraph simply certifies that that fish was caught legally on a hook and line and not in a commercial situation.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
That it?
Yeah.
Apparently that was it.
Apparently, yeah.
Okay. By the way, and I know those of you that missed this last week have commented on it, that you did not hear your smart, green, and growing tip from Maryland Department of Natural Resources. I'd like to offer my opinion on this, and it won't go over well. Somebody has way too much time on their hands to put these things together, because here it is. Smart, green, and growing tip for August 7th. You ready, EW?
I'm ready.
Before putting your old pair of socks in the trash can, think again. Believe it or not, this is from our Maryland Department of Natural Resources. Believe it or not, socks can be recycled and can function in several ways besides keeping your feet warm. You can pull them over your hands and dust crevices and light shades, lampshades, furniture, and any other hard-to-reach place. Or you can store them off-season shoes inside them to prevent scuffing during storage. You can also tie them together for a neat dog pool toy! Exclamation point. For more alternative uses of common household items, click here. And I never do click there. What do you think? Somebody have too much time on their hands?
Yeah, I would think so. I think.
yeah, I'm thinking smart, green, and growing tip on the Department of Natural Resources press releases. I'm not sure. So anyway, let's see. This one is from August 3rd. Are you ready? Smart, green, and growing tip? You want to make a note?
I'm got my pen right here.
You ready? Here we go.
Here we go.
Garage doors containing recycled content are available on the market, including one made out of composite wood or steel. Insulated garage doors are also widely available, which can keep your garage and any adjacent rooms warmer in the winter and improve the energy efficiency of your home. For homes in warmer climates, consider a perforated garage door which allows ventilation and light inside the garage. Click here for some simple changes you can make in your garage to improve your home's environmental performance and save money or energy. And I never do click there. Department of Natural Resources, what do you think?
I think they could focus on some more important things than that.
You and I think so. Absolutely true. Yes, indeedy. Anyway, anybody would like to call and comment on the smart, green, and growing tip, we welcome your phone calls here at 410-922-6680, 1-800-WCBM-680-1-800-922-6680. Not very much on suburban deer management in the deer report.
It's just standard. They got the standard stuff in the back of it there.
Yeah.
You know, urban deer is probably the most challenging aspect of the deer management here in Maryland. More so because we actually have a lot of our, you know, urban areas. You're the corridor between D.C. and Baltimore, and you know, clean up literally up almost towards Philadelphia is very challenging.
A lot of developments.
A lot of developments.
And perfect habitat.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Perfect habitat. I mean, deer are unmolested, other than by traffic.
Yep.
You got housing developments on the edges of farm fields and woodlands. Little edge properties.
Deer are edge lovers.
They love the edge.
And the whole, that's why I said when you asked about the health of deer, even the deer in our urban areas tend to be extremely healthy.
Yes,
I mean,
they do.
Landowners put a lot of money in their landscape and stuff, and that the minerals and stuff benefit the deer as well.
Perfect food.
I mean, it's awesome. I mean, that's, you know, we have a great, you know, it's been a little sidestep off of that is how many deer can per square mile, how many deer can Maryland handle? Even in our urban areas, we can probably handle above 20 deer per square mile. Right. In our urban, and that's a target. That's a target shot.
But that's not
for big
woods. That's not ideal, though.
That's not ideal.
That's actually overpopulated. What is a good target number per square mile?
20 in a wooded, dense, big woods area is 20 deer per square mile. That is the national target area. If, like, for Pennsylvania big woods area, they look for 20 deer.
Here, and they don't have it in those big woods areas in Pennsylvania.
Not.
They don't have it. The deer density is very low in those big areas.
In some areas.
Yeah.
In some areas. And a lot of it has to do with predation because of the coyote situation, which I encourage everybody to hunt coyotes.
Yeah, buy that $5 permit
just in case
you see one. But the point is up there. What has happened is, and I cite the farm that I hunted on as a kid, we used to have an area there called the Choppins.
Mm-hmm.
And it was freshly cut. It had been cut like 2 or 3 years. Now, I'm talking now 40 years ago. When I was a kid, it was called the Choppins. Okay, they logged it out. They cut it out. It was all overgrown, dense brush, perfect deer habitat. You get in there and you drive that thing out and, 50 deer come out the other end
right.
and run out in the fields and guys have an opportunity to shoot one. Well, as an adult, I go back there in my 30s, my 40s, and, you know, now it's 20 years, 30 years later, okay?
How dense is that cover now?
It is not. They still call it the Choppins, but it's not. I mean, you can see from one end to the other of it.
200 yards in the woods?
Well, something like that, yeah. And so what's happened is all that cover is gone. You know, the forest.
That's browse.
It's, well, was.
It was. It's
it
not
was.
There anymore.
It's not there anymore because the trees have grown up.
Right.
And the guys in Pennsylvania, I hunted back there 30 years ago. There's plenty of deer around here. And now the damn game commission, we ain't found no deer around here. Well, yeah. Do you look at the forest growth over the last 30 years? You know, have you seen the woods change, or do you just go to the same hunting camp every year for the past 30 years, and you don't cut any brush, and you don't do any supplemental feeding, and you don't provide habitat for the deer? You just hunt the same woods that you hunted 30, 40 years ago when things were a bit different.
You know, you talk about evolving, the hunting situation evolving. I think that's one of the things that QDMA has really brought on board is that food source, creating a better habitat to food plots. Forestry is big, huge. Natural vegetation is huge, and that is something that needs to be addressed.
I took a ride the other day. I was in Dorchester County, and there's a fellow there that's I've known for many years. He farms 900 acres, big farm. You know, of course, I talked to 88 Ranch the other day, 45,000 acres up in Wyoming, but and I said 900 acres, and they snickered. But, but you know, 900 acres all planted for commercial crops. He's got commercial crops. He's got no corn, but he does have millet or
sorghum.
Sorghum. Yeah, sorghum. Yep, millet, sorghum, same thing. And he's got soybeans. And he said, come on, I'll show you my food plots. I'll show you my deer stands. I'll show you how we've got the trails cut. They have built this farm to manage deer. 1:30 in the afternoon, 90 degrees. Sick of deer out in the middle of the field feeding. Mm-hmm. Whitetails out feeding in the woods, in the fields, on the food plots. It was amazing. And if you manage your property for deer and provide the cover and make the cuts and do, he said, let me tell you something. He said, there's a thicket. There's 30 acres of thicket over here adjoining this food plot. And he said, you come out here, you know, in the evening. And he said, it's full of sick of deer. I said, where's the local marsh? About 2 miles away. I'm like, 2 miles away? And you got sick of deer all over this place because you have the perfect habitat. And you got something for them in here for them. You got cover. You got water. You got food. You know, and here they are. And it was absolutely amazing as we went through the areas. And here's the tree stand, and here's why we put the tree stand here, and here's the intersection. Over there's the food plot. There's a stand there. You manage your property for deer, you're going to be very successful at your deer. And if you don't kill everyone that walks, you're going to have some really, really nice bucks. He was telling me about a 180 class double drop time he killed last year. Nice deer. I mean, come on. You're never going to see a picture of that deer. You're never going to see that on any website. You're never going to see that in any contest. That's a deer that, there it is.
Yep.
You know.
Yep. Yep.
And, you know, it was a good experience. I want to thank him for that. I'm not going to name his name.
But, yeah, you know, one of the things as hunters, even in the Carroll County, Barmer County, Harford County
area. And you can
area,
do it anywhere. You my can do, point.
Well, the thing about it is if you look around your edges of your agricultural field, you'll have that 20, 30 feet between the woods line and the crop.
Right.
That is usually herbicide burned.
Right.
And if you can talk to your local farmer and say, hey, look, you know, can I put my food plot, your clovers in there, your brassicas in there, even late seasons, you know, cool season or late season stuff. And, you know, you're not getting he's not getting any crops off of it.
Right.
It's a buffer zone between there. And it's an awesome, awesome place to manage your deer with.
Sure.
Because you create a source there.
And keeps them off the crops.
Well, I don't know if it may not keep them off, but it holds them there long enough that once they get their belly full, they're going to lay down, they're going to chew the cud, and they're going to go on.
Right.
If they put some of that supplement clover in there before they get to the corn and stuff, that's more likely.
Yeah.
Beans will be a draw deer from around and around.
Sure.
It's kind of weird, and I don't know that many people know this, but deer, sink of deer, and any kind of wildlife like that will go to the most potent, high-quality food source in the area.
That's why they like sorghum.
No big surprise here. I mean, would you rather eat steak or a hot dog? I mean, it's sometimes the hot dogs are pretty good, you know, but...
Wawa doesn't sell steaks.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm on the road...
Well, if you want to gorge yourself and just sit there and get fat,
I know what you're saying, absolutely.
But
I like a good steak.
Oh yeah,
me, you know,
yeah. So. I mean, so that's the key to it, and that's something is, and you can hang your stands on them edges and whatnot, and a lot of your farmers, when you say I'm going to manage your deer, you know, and I want to do this so I can help you out, but then do that. Shoot your big old
does. Shoot your does, and don't just.
And if that farmer starts to see a little bit of results in his crop yields, then he's going to be happy with you.
Don't go in there under the pretense that you're going to manage a deer and wait for the big buck to come out.
That's correct.
You got to take those does out. Yep. I mean, that's the least you can do for permission to hunt. Time for me to tell the folks about Tochterman's. Downtown Baltimore, 1919-1925 Eastern Avenue in Fells Point, 2.5 blocks east of Broadway. Right there in the same location they've been since 1916. Same family name, same location for nearly a century. Tochterman's. Now, Tochterman's is all fishing all the time. all fishing all the time. You want to fish the bay. You want to fish for bass. You want to fish the tidal rivers. You want to fish for bottom fish. You want to fish for panfish. You want to fish for striped bass. You want to fly fish for any species of fish from, you know, brook trout to sailfish. You got it right there. You want to travel somewhere, Tochterman's has the expert that can tell you what gear to take anywhere in the country. You want to fish the Caribbean. You want to go to, you know, for bonefish or tarpon or something like that. They've got the experts that can tell you. You want to go bass fishing in the ponds in Delaware and the Eastern Shore, Gene can tell you. You want to go fly fishing on the Potomac, Joe can tell you. Tochterman's, fishing tackle is what they're all about, and they've got the experts to help you out and all the tackle to back it up. They have a complete lure building and fly tying room with all the supplies and all the equipment. They've got classes. They've got seminars. They've got things that you can see and do there that just absolutely amaze you. Surf fishing, offshore bottom fishing, offshore deep jigging rods and reels. They've got everything. You name it. And the top brands, Daiwa, Shimano, you name it. I think I've said a lot about their fishing tackle, and I think you get the idea. 1925 Eastern Avenue, downtown Baltimore, 410-327-6942. Now, I'll repeat that phone number in a minute, but I want to tell you, if you need bloodworms... Do you fish with bloodworms, EW?
No, I don't fish much at all anymore.
You don't fish much at all.
You talked
about the difference between a steak and a hot dog.
Yeah.
To a fish, a bloodworm is filet.
Ah.
Filet mignon.
There you go.
And the bigger, the better.
Mm.
The more bait you can get out of one bloodworm. Well, Tochterman's have bloodworms that are the best, not only on in the east of the Mississippi, but I will go as far as to say they've carried the best bloodworms on the North American continent. That's pretty good.
They grow them local?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, they come from Maine.
Mm.
But.
They feed them here, though.
They feed them.
Mm.
And Miss D names them. She tells them every morning, she says, she puts the boxes aside, and she tells them all, you're going fishing today. And they make them, and they get very happy about that. And then when somebody comes in and gets a dozen bloodworms, she goes, hey, you're up next, and sends them out the door, and they think they're going fishing. They're going to have fun.
So they have a good attitude.
They have a good attitude going right into when you put them on the hook.
I think that's key.
And that I think so.
Keep a positive, good attitude.
410-327-6942 for Tochterman's Fishing Tackle, downtown Baltimore. You got to love it. You got to love it. Oh, man. Hey, another place if you like to go fishing, if you live in Anne Arundel County, Fishbones Bait and Tackle, 4729 Mountain Road in Pasadena, my buddy. Let's call Bud. 410-360-0573. 410-360-0573. 4729. Bud.
Yes.
Alan on the radio, and you
hey,
are too.
How you doing, guys?
Man, hey, everybody's good. How you doing?
Just fine, thanks.
How about a little fishing report, crabbing report?
Yeah, actually, well, the fish is doing really good, actually. It's terrific.
Yep.
Fishing, lots of chumming for rockfish, still a little bit of trolling. A lot of live lining down south of us, below the bridge, but above the bridge, it's pretty much chumming.
Yeah.
It's doing really good. We're seeing a lot of undersized red drum. I mean, unbelievable.
Puppy drum are unreal around here.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, every day I'm getting three or four calls about it.
By the way, Bud, do you know that red drum of any size is qualifies for the Maryland Fishing Challenge for a citation?
That's correct.
There you go.
Yep, that's correct.
And the puppy drum qualify as well, even though they don't have any size to them.
Yep, that's right.
So, anyway... I just wanted to make you busy today, that's all.
Yeah, that's great, but everybody should keep in mind, it's a slot limit. It's an 18 to 27-inch slot limit.
And we don't have anything that size yet.
We haven't seen anything yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Any Spanish mackerel yet, or is it too early?
I have heard of some Spanish mackerel as far north as the radar towers off the Severn.
Really?
Yeah, and I think it's the majority of them are a little below that, Chesapeake Beach and up to Poplar Island, but... That's coming into its own, and it's the right time of the year for that.
Little cath or spoon trolled quickly.
Right, exactly. Little planers are 2 to 4 ounces of weight, 5.5 knots.
There you go. Okay, cool.
Yep.
How about the crabbing? Anything going on there?
Crabbing, it's been really bad, let's be honest.
Yeah, of course.
Undersized crabs. In the last 2 days, it has picked up slightly.
Good.
The guys that were getting a half bushel are now getting a bushel. They're working for it. It is a good crab. The crabs are keeping are a very good quality crab.
Good.
Those undersized crabs, we're not sure if they're going to be of size by the end of this year. Up here, down south, they should be.
Gotcha. Cool.
Yep.
Anything else you want to tell folks?
I think that's it. Get out there. Take advantage of this great fishing we have right now.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
Thank you, guys.
See you, bud. There he goes. Bud from Fishbones Bait and Tackle, 4729 Mountain Road in Pasadena. Take Route 100 all the way to the end. Hit Mountain Road good toward Gibson Island, 2.5 miles on your right-hand side. Fishbones Bait and Tackle, right beside Shell Station. You got it. And those great crab steamers, too. Stainless steel crab steamers with the basket and the lid. Half bushel, bushel, bushel and a half sizes. Last crab steamer you ever have to buy. 410-360-0573. We talked about the Maryland Fishing Challenge already. www.dnr.maryland.gov. 80 different categories, 60 species of fish. Even talked about the red drum there. And, you know, you could win great prizes. Diamond Jim's out there swimming around. Make sure you look that up on the DNR website or go to my website, which is ellisoutdoors.com. You can click right on the Fishing Challenge button there, and it'll take you right to the website, and you can read all about it and see who, I guess we're about over 1,000 now people that are in the Fishing Challenge, which is pretty cool. Pretty cool. We're with E.W. Grimes here of the Maryland Quality Deer Management Association. One thing I wanted to touch on in this that doesn't have much to do with quality deer management, but it is a factor. That's table number 10. Did you read table number 10?
The crop damage?
No.
10.
No, on page 15.
Vehicle, yeah.
Baltimore County, 1,693 deer killed.
Now, before you get too involved with these numbers, these do fluctuate because of the agency that actually collects the data. This chart here is probably, you know, it says on the note on the bottom there, it does fluctuate. One year in Montgomery County, with all the highways in Montgomery County, the number was way, way low, and it was because they didn't actually do their reporting. So, usually when you have a big number or a high number, then somebody's doing their job and they're collecting the stuff. You know, I mean, that's you're picking up the road kills and stuff like that. Yep.
14,690 deer killed by vehicles.
In the state of Maryland.
In the state of Maryland.
And that's...
I'm going to guess that's low.
That is way low. Actually, if you could go to the insurance agency website, and I don't have it in front of me or off the top of my head, I think it's Allstate maybe has a report in Maryland. It's much higher.
Yeah.
It's probably twice as what we're seeing here.
Yeah. But I just picked out Baltimore County because that's where we're sitting for an example. And that's not the highest. Howard County has 2,017 deer. Montgomery County has 2,746. What gets my attention is the sexes of the deer.
Yes.
Unknown. In Baltimore County, we had 271 males, 278 females, and 1,144 unknown. 1,693. I mean, you know, for a total of 1,100 deer, more than twice the ones that were known were unknown.
Well, that's just the collectors not
identifying.
That's
because the guys they don't identify.
Yeah, or they're so smashed up. You know,
lasagna. Yeah, I mean, if anybody's ever seen the highway department come out and collect those deer, it's pretty fascinating how they lift them.
I'm just real quick, look back at last year's deer report for Baltimore. The total was 571.
Right.
So that's exactly what we're doing.
Exactly,
you know,
right.
You know,
yeah.
if you really want a good number.
What was it in Howard County for 2010?
Howard County is 1,278.
And to opposed to 2017
see,
this year.
Yeah. See,
it does fluctuate. Absolutely.
Fluctuate a little bit.
Yeah. What was the grand total at the bottom there?
8,082.96.
And 14,690 this year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But regardless, the point is, there's lots of deer getting killed on the highways. And it's primarily because people don't know that there are so many deer out there. And they just drive like they drive, you know, in deer country, they drive like they drive normally. Now, I struck one on Interstate 70 last November. I'm in that Howard County total, I guess. And, you know, you hit a white-tailed deer in the fall. Doing 70, 60, well, how fast was I going? What's the speed limit? 65. Going 64 miles an
you
hour.
You had to ask what the speed limit was.
Well, you know, seriously, I'm doing 70 miles an hour at 11 o'clock at night, and a deer, I mean, there it was. When I first saw him, he was in front of the right headlight. And
you said about deer area. Where is there not a deer area in
exactly
Maryland?
Right.
I mean, they're everywhere.
Exactly
so,
right.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but in like...
Known.
Like
known.
Deer Park Road, I mean, I would think that... You might want to slow down a little bit in the fall on Deer Park Road. And any area that surrounds any major woodlands, like Soldier's Delight Wildlife
Refuges.
Whatever it is, you know. So, Yeah, but
we had a real quick story.
Sure.
We sat at one of the public hearings or one of the meetings a couple years ago. We had a lady that was there, an elderly lady, and she wanted the deer sign that was in her front yard on the front of her property, wanted to relocate it.
Right.
And the reason was because the cars were hitting the deer and the dead deer was laying in her yard. So
right.
She wanted the highway department to move the sign down to a field about a quarter of a mile down so the deer would cross down there instead of in her front yard. And that way the carcasses would, you know, be away from her yard. So the deer would read the sign. You get that, what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand. I'm with you. All right. All right, we're going to turn it over to Pat here for a second. We're going to do a short break, and we'll be right back with E.W. Grind.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire. Auto.
And we're back. A couple minutes left here to go. got an email from somebody. The question was, what the hell? It's a story that links to Salisbury Skate Park receiving funding from Maryland Department of Natural Resources Parks and Playground Program.
For a skating ring?
For a skate park.
Hmm.
In Salisbury.
How does that relate to wildlife?
I think that's probably why the sender sent it to me. Yeah, did you know that our Department of Natural Resources had a Parks and Playgrounds program?
I did not.
I would think that shouldn't come under Department of Natural Resources.
I would not think.
I don't know. Maybe they could. Use the money from laying off the person who puts together the smart, green, and growing tips and put that salary towards it.
Unbelievable.
Isn't it, though?
Unbelievable.
I mean, and people wonder about state government. Here we are.
Yep. There we go.
E.W. Grimes, president of the Maryland Quality Deer Management Association, was our guest this morning. You've got a big 3D shoot coming up next week at Mayberry Archers.
Yep. Please come out. Support.
Maryland, QDMA.com. Phone number?
410-984-3356.
984-3356. That's E.W. Grimes. You'll reach him directly if you'd like to sign up for the 3D shoot for you bow hunters. Love to have you here, buddy. Come back anytime. We welcome you. Just let me know.
In advance?
In advance, yeah. Not when I walk in the
door. I'm just in the area, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure you're just in the area from up in the Carroll County.